Well, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a joy to be with you again this evening to open up God's Word with you. Let's turn together to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, and if you're using the Pew Bible, it's going to be page 1171. 1171. We're going to be looking specifically at Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. But in order to give us a little bit more context for the passage this evening, I want to read Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, and then we will go to the sermon text for this evening. And I want to remind you, each time we open up God's Word, these aren't just mere black print on a white page, but this is the living and active Word of God given to us that we might hear God speak, that we might align our lives again with reality, to hear the Lord, to conform our lives to His will, that we might be sanctified and brought to fuller life in His name. So hear the Word of the Lord. Mark chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains." Let's look now to verse 32. Mark 13, verse 32. "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, and pray, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." This is God's holy word. Let's give him thanks for the scriptures this evening. Lord, we rejoice in your word. We delight in the law of your word. Lord, open my lips that my mouth might declare your praise. Open our ears that we might hear glorious truth from your word this morning, that we might hear the charge of our master to stay awake, to keep watch, and to be diligent in these duties. Lord, we thank you for this time to hear you from you, to fellowship with one another, and to be built up in our most holy faith. Holy Spirit, come and work in our midst that we might grow and greater faithfulness and trust and confidence in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. I want to do something a little bit different than I normally do, walking specifically just through a text, and I want us to focus in just on a small portion of this passage to identify and to study and to look at what I think is a neglected spiritual discipline. One that we often don't talk about. And if you were to go to any bookstore or a Christian bookstore and pick up a book on spiritual discipline, you might not find this particular practice, this duty, this discipline in the table of contents at all. Actually, I know specifically of one modern text that addresses this spiritual discipline. And I don't know if you already know what I'm talking about, but it's not prayer. That's obvious. It's not fasting. It's watching. watchfulness. What the ESV says is stay awake. If you have the New King James Version in front of you, it says watch. What is this watching? What is this watchfulness that we are charged by the Lord Jesus to do? How do we do it? And what should we be watching for? That's what I want us to focus on this evening, is that charge that Jesus not only gives to his disciples. And notice what he says in the last verse there. He says, "And what I say to you," his disciples that were right there with him, "I say to all." This is a spiritual discipline for those who are following Jesus and those who are on the outskirts and not yet coming to Jesus. He says to everyone, watch, stay awake, be alert. What is this watching? What is watchfulness? What does it mean to stay awake? This practice is one that is given to us by the Lord Jesus, a charge given to you and given to me by our Master as a command, as a duty, but one to delight in, one to adopt and to put into practice in our lives, because it comes straight from the mouth of your Master. And as a master leaves his house and he gives different duties to all those who are under his care, he says to the doorkeeper, he gives his command, but Jesus gives this command to all of us. Watch, stay awake, be alert. What is this watchfulness? It is an attentiveness to the motion, the working of God in the world. It is a being attentive to what God is doing, being attentive to what God has promised to do. We talked about that this morning. Being aware and alert to who God is and that what he's doing in the world, watch for him. He is at work. How do we do this watching? Well, we can draw that from the text. Jesus actually gives us quite a bit of instruction here in this text. Now, I want you to look again at verse 32. He tells his disciples in the context of this judgment that's going to come upon Jerusalem and the second return that Jesus promises in the passage that comes before this text, he warns them. He says, don't concern yourselves about knowing times or dates. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Jesus himself says, I don't know. In his humanity, he does not know, but only the Father knows. So this is not something we should be concerning ourselves about as time and dates when the second coming will happen. Even in Jesus' day, the disciples want to know, when will the judgment come? He's like, when is not the question. The question is, what should I be doing while I wait? And so he says to them in verse 33, here's the instructions. This is what you are to do. Be on guard. Keep awake. If you have, again, the New King James Version, it says, watch and pray. The ESV, it says, be on guard, keep awake. And you have to look at the footnote to get and pray. That's unfortunate. But it's in your Bible, you just have to look a little bit harder for it. It's right there, and pray. So what should we do? First, you should watch diligently. You should watch with great diligence, because your Master has commanded you, his servants, to watch diligently. This is a task given to you. This idea of watchfulness is actually a military term. The man who would stand and keep guard in the night watch, scanning the horizon, looking out to guard the city, but also looking out to guard against the enemy. It is one who is tasked with the duty to keep his eyes open, to be alert, to stay awake. That requires diligence. I don't know when the last time you went on a long road trip and maybe you said, I can make it a couple more hours. And the body is saying, nope, you probably should pull over. But men are mostly guilty of this. I can do it. And you push, and you push, and you push, and your body gets tired, and your eyes start getting heavy. That is what is required at that point in time, to be diligent. To not slumber, to not drift, but to go, pinch, pinch, whatever, coffee, caffeine, whatever it takes, be diligent, stay awake. I have a responsibility to get my family or my friends or myself from point A to point B, and I want to get there, so that requires diligence. It requires a strict attentiveness to what's going on. And if you feel yourself getting tired and you need to pull over for a rest, you're admitting that I can no longer be diligent. And my most appropriate response is to ask for help, ask for relief, or pull over for a power nap. But diligence is what is required when you are needing to stay alert. How do we keep watch? We do it diligently. Jesus says, be on guard. Keep awake. Scan the horizon. Watch. Wait. Don't close your eyes. Be on guard. And there it is. Keep awake. Watch. But how should we do this? We should not only do it diligently, we should do it expectantly. Because your master not only commands you to keep watch because he's going away, he commands you to keep watch because what? He's coming back. He requires you to keep watch so that you know when he returns. So you should keep watch not only diligently, but you should keep watch expectantly, trusting and believing and knowing that your master has commanded you to keep watch because he is coming back and you should be ready. Your master charges you with this task because he has something he's going to do in your life. He's coming back. And he's coming back to meet with you. Whether that be a celebration because he's your master who you submitted your life to and you're welcoming him as the Lord of the world that he is and the Lord of this church that he is, or he's coming in judgment against those who are opposed to him. Either way, all of us should watch expectantly. Not only diligently, but expectantly. Jesus says, the master goes away, but he's coming back. The Son will go away. The Son of Man will go away, but he's coming back. So not only watch diligently, but watch expectantly, anticipating his return, because you know who has said it to you. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, and what Jesus has said, he will do. Brothers and sisters, to watch means to watch with anticipation, expecting that he's going to fulfill his promise. How is your watching going? Have you forgotten that? That he's coming back. He's returning. He is going to come to his people, and we will go to him with great rejoicing. Or he's coming to those who are his enemies, and they will run in great fear. How are you expecting Jesus? With great anticipation and joy? Or with fear and trembling? Either way, we should watch diligently and expectantly. But what we also see is that we should not just only watch diligently and expectantly, but we should watch continually. Always. Never giving up, never losing heart, never ceasing in our duty. You be diligent, you do it with expectancy, but you do it in such a way that you never give up or lose heart in this duty. Do it continually. Because when Jesus says, stay awake, when he says, watch, when he says, be alert, in the text, it is active and perfect. Do it. Don't stop doing it. Don't even think about giving up doing it. Do it continuously. Keep watch. I don't know how this became a neglected discipline for us. It's one that Jesus has commanded for us to do all the time. We've heard pray continually. But Jesus is saying, watch continually. Don't quit. Make a habit of watching always. So do this diligently. Do this expectantly. Do this continually. But also, be on your guard. Keep awake always. Prayerfully. Asking, pleading, crying out for his return. Longing, crying out with the apostle, "Maranatha, Lord, come quickly." The expectant person prays, desiring for their Lord, for their master to return. To ask for it, to pray that the Lord would bring the kingdom of heaven down from heaven, down to the earth, and establish his righteous reign and rule for all eternity. Does your prayer life include praying for the Lord's return? Crying out with the apostle, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus," and do so quickly. How do we watch? We are to watch diligently. We're to watch expectantly. We're to watch continually and prayerfully, longing and asking, desiring and crying out for it, pleading for it. This text that we have in front of us specifically tells us to watch in such a way for the Lord's return or the judges coming to the people to bring judgment. But there's other things and other ways that we should watch. How should we watch? We know that, but what should we watch for? Let me give you a couple other applications of what to watch for. Paul, in Acts 20, tells the elders of Ephesus to keep watch. Watch over yourselves. And we know how to watch now. Now, do that with your life. Be diligent to keep watch over yourselves. Expectantly, look at how you are growing in sanctification and growth and grace. Do it continually. And keep watch over yourselves prayerfully. Lord, is there anything in my heart that would offend you? Remove it far from me. Keep watch over yourselves in the same way that we've instructed to watch for his return. But Paul doesn't just tell them in Acts 20 just to keep watch over themselves. He says, keep watch over the flock of God that's under your care. Now, That can apply to all of us who have responsibility for anyone. Now, you do have responsibility for yourselves. You ought to keep watch over yourselves. But fathers, keep watch over your households. Friends, keep watch over each other. Brothers and sisters in Christ, come alongside each other and take responsibility for one another. And how should you do it? Diligently, expectantly, continually, prayerfully. Keep watch over yourselves and keep watch over those who are under your care. Mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, children in households, brothers and sisters, and I mean flesh and blood, brothers and sisters, watch out for one another. Be alert. Why do I emphasize this so much? Well, because I want to also consider that you have an enemy. Remember 1 Peter chapter 5? You have an enemy that's scheming, that's prowling around, looking to devour you. Be on your guard. Keep watch. Stay alert. Why? Because you have an enemy, and that enemy is real, and he is set out to destroy you, and he does not sleep. Stay awake. Keep watch over yourselves. Keep watch over each other. Keep watch for your enemy who seeks to destroy you. He is real. And he is, again, not sleeping, but sometimes watching more diligently than we do ourselves. Know your enemy's tactics better than he knows his own. So how should you watch out for your enemy? Again, diligently. Expectantly, knowing that he wants to strike and he will try to strike. And do it continually, but prayerfully, praying that the Lord would keep you from temptation and deliver you from all evil. I also want you to learn that we ought to be keeping watch. We ought to stay awake and alert to the movement of the Spirit in our daily lives. God is at work in the world. He is active in our midst, even now, working by his word and his spirit in our hearts. But even as you go from this place, his work does not cease. It continues. Are you looking for the places that the Spirit is actually at work in your life? Are you awake? Are you watching? Are you diligent about these things? To go through life asking the Holy Spirit, where are you at work right now? Why is this person standing in front of me in this line right now? They have to wait. I have to wait. They're looking at their cell phone. I'm looking at my cell phone. Surely there's something good I could tell the person. Maybe. What about that neighbor you still don't know their name? Because if you don't know their name, you probably don't know their story. And if you don't know their story, you probably don't know how to pray for them. But that's a challenge we can all go after. Who is my neighbor? What is their name? What is their story? I've repeated this before. What's working and what's not working in their life? If your neighbor can tell you what's going really well, that's something to give God praise for. If they tell you something that's not working, that's a prayer request you can petition God for. It's simple. But oh, how poorly we do it. The Spirit is at work in your life to reach out and to bear witness to who Jesus is in your daily life. Are you paying attention to the movements of the Spirit? Are you paying attention to the movements of the Spirit when he says, repent of that? And he places his finger on that tender spot in your heart where you sense conviction and you're like, yeah, later. No, do you know when he addresses something in your life, do you respond with obedience and repentance and faith? He's active in our lives. Are we watching for it? Are we awake to it? Are we alert to it? We've already addressed this, but I just want to emphasize it again. Are you watching for your master's return? Do you long for it? Do you wait for it? Do you anticipate it? Do you pray for it? How often? Continually? Do you long for the return of your King? He's made a promise to you, his people. He's coming back. He's going to set the record straight. He's going to redeem and restore and bring deliverance to slaves. He's going to heal and deliver the sick. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to make all things new. Not all new things, all things new. Do you want that? Do you long for that? Are you watching for that? Christian, watch. Stay awake. He has promised that it's going to happen, but I don't want you to be asleep when it does. But maybe you're not in Christ. And you hear this command from someone who you don't claim to be your master. But he said to his disciples, and he says to all, stay awake. Be alert. Watch. And the context would show us that Jesus isn't saying this in anger. Jesus is saying this in mercy and compassion because he loves Israel. He loves Jerusalem, and he knows that the judgment on Israel and on the temple is coming. So he says to his disciples, and he says to all those who can hear him, please hear me. Stay awake. Because when I come again, it's going to be in judgment. Will you run from him, or will you run to him? Those who run to him are those who know him and want him to come back. Those who will run from him are those who fear him and don't want anything to do with judgment. But here is the warning. The master has said he's going away. He's coming back. Watch for it. And while you watch, open your life Open your heart to consider who it is that's telling you to watch. It's the Lord Jesus, who when he speaks a promise, he will fulfill it. Jesus, all the way to Jerusalem, in the Gospel of Mark, he's telling his disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles, I'm going to be crucified, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise again from the dead. He repeats this over and over, and his disciples are like, okay, what does this mean? It means exactly what he says it means. I'm going to Jerusalem, they're going to hand me over to the Gentiles, they're going to crucify me, they're going to put me in a grave, and in 3 days I'm going to rise again. He did it. That's who we're dealing with right now. He says to you and to me, I'm going to go away, and then I'm going to come back. And those who trust me and love me and believe my word, they will receive me rejoicing. But those who reject me, they will run in fear because I'm coming in judgment. So stay awake. You don't know when he's going to return, but he will. So, if you're in Christ, watch diligently. Watch expectantly. Watch continually and watch prayerfully. And for those who have yet to look to the Lord Jesus, who when he speaks a promise, fulfills a promise, here's my charge to you. Stay awake. Watch. How should you do it? You should be watching diligently. You should be watching expectantly. And you should be watching continually. And I pray before he returns, you watch prayerfully too, calling on his name, believing on him as the King of heaven, who has made promises that he will deliver on, and you turn to him, and you receive him as a king with celebration, with joy, rather than running from him as an enemy, looking at a judge who's coming to make right all the wrongs against him. Stay awake. Be alert. Watch. I pray that the Lord will take these words and he'll apply them to our hearts, and that we will take this discipline, this much neglected spiritual discipline of watching and watchfulness, and add it to our life and practice. And that you would do it in such a way that when Jesus' return happens, and you see it, whether you be in the grave and raised, you're going to be like, I was watching for this. I was ready for this. I was expecting this. I cried out for this. Rather than be caught asleep, not believing, not expecting. Oh, may the Lord increase our faith to believe the word and to apply it in such a way that we obey it. Brothers and sisters, stay awake. Let's pray. Again, Father, we turn our hearts to you and thanking you for your word to us through your Son, by your Spirit this evening. Lord, we pray that we would be diligent, that we'd be expectant, that we'd pray continually, expecting the Lord's return. You've made promises to us. We want it. We long for it. We desire it. We know we still have work to do, even as we meditated this morning. But Lord, may we do our work and live in such a way that we long for your return. We long for the return of the King, where he will come and make all things right and make all things new. Lord, if there is anyone here tonight that is not yet closed with Christ, if they've not yet looked to him as their Redeemer and as their Savior, but only see him as a coming judge, Lord, I pray that they would turn and see the salvation that you've made for sinners like us to come to you with full assurance of faith, knowing that you receive all those who call upon your name. You give them the right to become children of God. Lord, may we turn to you continually, praying and asking for your return. But Lord, we ask for those who have not yet believed on your name, that even in this moment, by your Spirit, you'd work faith in their hearts, that they'd put their confidence in Jesus, and that they would go out with the church rejoicing to receive their King when he returns. May we all be found watching, alert, and awake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.